Amen. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, anybody else have anything? We'll spend a few minutes in the Word here. But tonight, this is all kind of orchestrated because it's interesting. I want to talk about, Brother Hagin had talked about how to train the human spirit. And there's some of these elements that I think, I just feel led this year, or at least for a while, is really get into the basics, right? Get back into, you know, how do we train our human spirit, being led by the Spirit. These are very important things because, you know, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. Or let me just say this. You can make decisions on emotions, right? Or, here we go, pressure. The devil is the master of pressure, if you haven't noticed that at all, right? He is the master of pressure. Pressure you to do something. Pressure you to do this. Pressure you to do that. And so there are about four basic ways to train the human spirit. And again, I just feel like in the weeks to come, we'll talk more about some of these other ones. But we've got to start somewhere. And again, the human mind and the human spirit can be trained. Mm-hmm. We can develop our spirit, man. But how we're going to train the human spirit, there's basically four areas. Number one, meditate in the Word of God. I like Keith Moore says, if it ain't quiet, it ain't right. You know? If it doesn't line up with the Word, then better throw it out. The next one is, we're going to get more into these, practicing the Word of God. Basically be doers of the Word, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about scriptures on that. The third one is giving the Word first place. You know, we had Gary Crow here one time. He and I had some really great conversations. He was the dean of Rhema. And the big joke was at Rhema, Gary Crow was like, hey, I've done and been everywhere. You know, he's like got the Brother Hagin stories. You know, you look back and you're thinking, did that really happen? One of those guys. But one of the things that he said is if the Word is not your first inclination, then you're probably carnal. So when you have something that pressure or something, a situation that comes up in life, and you don't think about the Word or doing the Word first, then we probably need to brush up on some things, right? And I'll be guilty. I've been in situations in the past where it just, again, things happen, and then the pressure comes. And, you know, every once in a while, it's like anything else. When pressure comes, we're like, I always like to think we're like a big tube of toothpaste. Whatever's in us is going to come out. When that pressure comes, it's going to come out. And then the fourth one is, instantly obey the voice of the Spirit. That's very important because, you know, when you've got kids, sometimes you tell them to do things. Of course, I'm talking about my kids because my kids are perfect. I'm talking about, you know, somebody else's kids. But anyway, but when you tell them to do something and they know the right thing to do, but what happens is they can't quite pick the clothes up off the floor and they can't quite get the toys picked up, or they can't quite do this. I know I was at that age. We were all that age at one time, right? So, again, if you're not instantly obeying the Word of God, it's still disobedience, right? It's just basically disobedience that is the obedience that's been delayed. Delayed obedience is disobedience, right? Jonah is a prime example. Oh, he eventually got to Nineveh, but he had to take the long route, right? It took a while to get there, okay? And just because Jonah eventually got to Nineveh and they repented, it was still disobedience, right? Well, but he did it. No, he disobeyed because he instantly didn't obey. So still disobedience. So number one, meditating on the Word. We look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Man, this is a perfect scripture. And I love, Adrian is listening to Brother Hagin today, or this week, and I just thought, oh. It just, he just like a glass of warm milk for me. He just, oh, when I listen to Kenneth Hagin, I'm like, oh, yeah. Why? Because he's my spiritual daddy, and I listen to him a lot, and, you know, listen to him teach live, and then, you know, he stepped over me with the Lord in 2003. But just amazing teaching. And so Proverbs 20, 27 says, "The spirit of the man is the candle Lord, searching all the inward parts." If I say it like Brother Hagin does, belly, belly, of the belly. So our spirit is the one that's going to search the inward part. So again, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. That's key right there. Our spirit is going to be the candle of the Lord. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Well, I don't know if we're going to get to it all the tonight. But meditating on the Word of God. Joshua 1:8. This is key right here. Joshua 1:8. Now, this is when Moses had died. That mantle is being passed on to Joshua. Joshua now is taking command over the Hebrews. He is leading them into, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. And so it's time to go take the promised land. Joshua is going to lead them in. But the first thing that God deals with Joshua and the Hebrews is what? Their thinking. Their thinking. So just like the testimony earlier with Amy, the provision was there. God had the provision. But again, it's just God sitting back going, it's already taken care of, right? Yeah. Right? And she experienced a blessing. God knew that they were going to take over the promised land, but the first thing he had to deal with them was their thinking. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but what you shall what? Meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." But where does it begin? Our thinking. Our thinking. You know, everybody wants to, and this is what Brother Hagin, I love listening to his stories and stuff, and this lady come up and she say things like, one lady said, "Oh, just pray the Lord to take my snuff away." He goes, "He don't want your snuff." "Lord, take these cigarettes away." God don't want your cigarettes. You just say funny things to people, but they come up and say, "Oh, just pray for me, Brother Hagin. Just pray for me, Pastor Hagin," back then. About what? And they kind of step back, like, "What? Well, just pray for me." About what? You know, when he'd travel and everything, one time he said, I don't know, many of you may not know, but when I was younger in a denominational church, what we would do is we'd have Sunday morning, and then that was, you know, more sometimes teaching. Sunday night was more Holy Ghost, right? And then Wednesday night was, again, kind of Bible studies, and we'd have different things for kids. Well, anyway, Sunday night would get there. Well, if you've been in some of the denominational churches, they have, you know, altars at the front. And they're just basically, you know, places people can come down, kneel, and pray. And so Brother Hagin would walk around to people, and he always liked doing these little tests and stuff. And I like to do that sometimes, too. You may not know what I'm doing sometimes when I'm asking people questions, and always I find things out. But Brother Hagin, they'd be kneeling down, they'd be praying, and Brother Hagin lay down, he'd go, "What are you doing?" And they'd say, "Well, I'm praying." And he'd say, "What are you praying for?" "I'm praying." "Yeah, I know you told me that, but what are you praying about?" Said, "Well, I'm praying." "About what?" People would just get into religious things. I know as a kid, I'd go down there, old church would go down there, we'd all be praying around the front pews and on the altars and everything, and I'd be praying, and, you know, I'd be looking around praying for grandpa and grandma and Fluffy the dog and the cat and everybody else, and then I ran out of things to pray, and I'm looking around and see who else is around, because I didn't want to be, you know, you're not spiritual if you get up first. You know, that was the whole thing. But if I sit around hanging around here long enough and I'm one of the last people, then, oh, he must be spiritual. Right? I had no idea what I was doing. And so I still have to say this is sometimes we want the prayer to be the fix-it-all. And sometimes it's not. Prayer has its place. But sometimes we need to start with our thinking. Right? You can say, oh, pastor, pray for me. Just pray for me. Okay, well, I can pray for you. I can rub my hand on your head until it goes bald, but it doesn't mean it's going to do anything, right? Because what happens is we still walk out of these doors and do the silly, say and think and do the same silly things we did before we came in here. So we haven't changed at all. But God specifically focused on the Hebrews thinking before anything else happened. He goes, okay, now wait a minute here. Why? Because what got him into trouble into the wilderness when God drew him out of Egypt? It was their speaking and their doing. What does that stem from? Their thinking. Whatever so a man thinks, so is he, right? Your thinking, whatever you think is going to come out your mouth and then it will become action. I heard this. It was a really good. It was talking about this person. Was the statement? It was watching this documentary, and this lady was talking, and they were quoting her, and she had said something like, "Well, foul language is for those who are ignorant." And I thought, with nothing to say, and I thought, that's powerful. Yeah, because. You know, we need to have our words filled with things, but we got to get our thinking straight first. We can't do anything else until we get our stinking thinking straightened out. Yeah. That's key, right? Yeah. And again, I've seen some of the most deeply spiritual men and women that I know, and I've seen they meditate on the word. Two is practicing the word of God. James 1:22. We'll kind of close here. On number two. So we meditate on the word, that's when it's going to allow the Lord to speak to us. And sometimes when we're not meditating on the word, I always like to think of, you know, the gospel is called many different things. One of the things the gospel is called, it's called the great exchange. And what that is one thing is where Christ takes our sin and replaces it with redemption. He replaces it with a born-again spirit. Well, part of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, is a replacement as well. Replacing God's thoughts with our thoughts. So he's taking our thoughts away and he's replacing them with his thoughts in our mind. Also, too, there's a lot of noise out in the world, right? Yeah. I mean, everyone does that too sometimes where you'll get online or you'll do something and all of a sudden you're in a YouTube rabbit trail or you're like, all of a sudden you look back and you're like, I just spent an hour like watching crap or just stupid stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's like dumb little puppies doing things or you know, people, you know, tripping downstairs and just dumb stuff. You're like, what? I wasn't looking at like the most idiotic, ridiculous things or, you know, pranks or something like that or just whatever you come up. I don't know what your bag is, but anyway, they just, you can find a lot of time wasting stuff going on when you could have been productive. Now, it doesn't mean that we're just all the time and you can't enjoy anything. But what I am saying is we're just got all this noise in the world where we can be filling it up with the word and life-giving things into our life rather than sitting back and vegging out. You know, we've all been there. So, but number two, practicing the word of God. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." This little guy, Philip, he was one of my guitar students like years ago, and Philip didn't like to practice. Philip didn't like to do anything, okay? So Philip was just a little bitty guy, and his mom was pushing him to do his older sister was, she had some talent, and I told her mom, I was like, well, you know, his sister's got, you know, she's really progressing good and everything, but man, Philip, I'll tell you, I just don't know what happens. And so what happened was Philip would come in for lessons every week, and we'd sit down. Okay, Phillips, do all this stuff? Yeah, I did it. I did it, Brent. I did it. You didn't do it. First of all,
I listened to that
the book.
For
yeah. First of all, the book's in the exact same spot was when we left it. The pages haven't been opened at all, I can tell, because it was opened the same way. I can tell, right? Well, my little buddy Philip, was deceiving himself into thinking that he did something when he didn't do it, right? He quote, knew the material, not, because he saw me do it, and we did it one time together, and then when he came back, he wasn't a doer of the lesson. So when he got back, he was deceiving himself, right? And I wasn't buying it. It's just a silly example, but but again, it's something where if we're not doing the word, oh, you'll know. For example, practicing the word, James talks about being a doer. Now, there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is... You know, it was to obey the Ten Commandments, right? Well, without getting into big brouhaha on that, nobody can obey the Ten Commandments, all right? Because if we all could obey the Ten Commandments, then, you know, we wouldn't need Jesus, right? But it was something set in place where, you know, to try to curb ourselves until Jesus shows up. Well, what's the New Testament? The New Testament is a commandment of love, right? So if I love you, I'm not going to steal from you, right? Isn't that doing, being a doer of the word? Well, if I love you, I'm not going to lie to you. So, you know, Paul wrote, and I'm going to get into this, and we'll end here. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul wrote, "Be careful for nothing." Somebody's going to get mad at me about this, but I'm still going to let it fly. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, I want to start that first part. It says, be careful for nothing. If the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, told us, don't care or worry about things, that means we have the ability to not worry about things, right? To not get in care about things. I'm kind of... could care less about sometimes. I kind of the attitude like, just let the house burn down, right? Just let the bank come back and get the house. We don't care. But it always creeps up on you, worry, right? When you get a bill and maybe you're short a little more. We just got the blessing of the taxes, and now we're you know, found the blessed, you know. Now you're going to have to come up with so many, you know. So now we get a blessed with, you know, come up with more tax money. Oh, that's always so fun, isn't it? It's just so great. That's just, yeah. But I'm like, all right. So, or whether if you're short on something, you know, it's the temptation to care about it. Well, what's being a doer of the word? Casting your care on him, where he cares for you. Are you doing that all the time? Right? That's a good temptation, isn't it? I remember Brother Hagin talking about his mom was a champion warrior. Oh boy, she was a champion warrior. Him and his grandma, they just worry about everything, you know. I got family members and people that I know all the time, though, anything, are you nervous? Are you scared? Are you worried? Well, I was just fine until you walked in the room. You know, those kind of people, you know. You're going to go have a big thing or, you know, like a get in front of people or speak or have something else. Are you nervous as you're walking up? Okay, I was just fine until you screwed everything up. You know, one of those people. Could you sit in the car until I'm done? Kind of one of those people. But again, that's doing the word, isn't it? You know, we think about the biggies, again, the Ten Commandments, like, well, don't kill anybody. Well, I haven't killed anybody today, you know, yet. We haven't made it home yet. I'm kidding, so I mean, you know, those are things, but we don't think about not worrying, right? Hello, you know, we think about the big ones, but that's a big one. You're worrying about things, the bills, the you know, your kids or you know, your job or, you know, everything that's going on. I mean, we can worry about it. I mean, there is, you can, all kinds of phobias out there, all kinds of stuff that we can worry about, be scared of, and everything else too. But the Bible says, don't worry. Cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Right? Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, here we go, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Read that again. And the peace of God, here we go, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. How are you going to get that? Getting your mind squared away first. Getting your thinking in line. Again, peace, which passes all understanding, must be, again, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. I love Brother Hagin said, or somebody said, a scared prayer ain't an effective prayer. Yeah. Why is this scripture so important? Because number one, we just read back there in Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful for nothing. It means, first of all, get your mind straight. Get the worry, get the care off of you, and then go into, what's it say? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. Right? This sounds like a simple scripture, but it can be very, very challenging because, number one, your worry can hinder you. Because if you're in worry, probably half the time you're not even going to approach God. You're not going to pray. And then also, too, you're not going to give thanksgiving because, again, you're worried about things. You're complaining about things. And then also, too, again, you're not going to approach God. The only way you're going to approach God is if you have confidence towards Him. And if you're already focused on He's got this taken care of, God's got it, that changes everything, right? You see how your thinking can hinder everything? Your thinking, you can be worried. You can believe in your mind, oh, yeah, God can handle all this. He's going to take care of it all. But because you're worrying, it throws a monkey wrench into everything. I like this, the Amplified. God's peace shall garrison and mount guard. Ooh, I love that. Do you have the Amplified?
No, in the Living Bible.
You did the Living Bible? What's the Living Bible say on that? Philippians 4:6-7. If you want to read those, I want to see what a different translation says.
Philippians 4:6-7.
And then I'm going to read Proverbs 4.
Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus.
Yep. And then we'll close here this scripture, Proverbs, back to Proverbs 4:20-22. I want to read those three scriptures. Proverbs 4:20-22, and it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Mm-hmm. We'll dig more into that next week. But so again, just to kind of recap here, and we'll dig more in next week. But first of all, meditate in the Word of God. Meditate in the Word of God. You can't believe how many people believe that God is putting sickness and disease on people. And they can't tell you one scripture. They try to, you know, go to Job or Paul's thorn in the side or whatever. They come up with these obscure, weird things, but there's, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of other scriptures that are blatant, you know, that say just the opposite. That's why, I'm just saying this, that's why people get religiously brainwashed. They get into denominations or ways of thinking, or the Bible even talks about fables, things that are out there that are not true. Because why? Well, because my denomination believes this. Well, my pastor said this, or my priest said this, or this person said this, or daddy or grandma or somebody. What's the Word of God say? Right? We just read here that he said, put my words in your mouth. Put them, release those from your mouth. Think and meditate on my. Mm-hmm. We're not bound to a denomination. We're not bound to traditions of men, because what's the Bible say? Traditions of men make the Word of God no effect. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? It means, well, we've always believed this way, and we think this way, and our group thinks this, and blah, blah, blah. And it just means that it just sends us in a nosedive, doesn't it? So, amen. Well, we'll get more into that. Father, we thank you. You know, tonight, I just want to open it up to, you know, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never made him the Lord of your life, we want to pray for you tonight. You got it. It says there in the Bible that in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we confess him, make, you know, that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. It's real simple. If you've never made that commitment, we want to pray with you tonight. You can come up. But I'm going to pray for us. Lord, I thank you tonight that your word, first of all, is in our hearts. And I speak over us that 2023, it's already starting off to an amazing start. And I thank you, Lord, that this is, that 2023 is a breakthrough. Amen. For this church, for these people. For our families. And Lord, I thank you that there's going to be a supernatural blessing on this church in every realm. In spiritual, Lord, we're going to see the move of God like never before. The financial realm, our health and our bodies, we speak healing and health in the name of Jesus. We speak joy and peace like never before, Lord, like never before. We just glorify you. We thank you, Lord God, that we're going to have funds to give like never before, Father, and facility like never before, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we also pray there. Paul told Timothy, pray for those in authority. We pray for our government tonight. We speak over our government that righteousness will prevail in the name of Jesus, and evil will be brought to nothing. And Lord, it says in Proverbs, in Psalms, that you laugh from your throne in heaven at evil, Lord, that their schemes will come to nothing. And Father, we speak that from Psalms tonight, that our nation and our world is being set free from slavery in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we see freedom coming, more freedom this year in the financial sector in the name of Jesus, that the walls and the destruction of this financial system is coming to an end, and we thank you a better financial system is being brought up in its ashes in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for a turnaround in our nation, Lord God, and we thank you that there's going to be a sorrow that leads to repentance in our nation, and we thank you that when we come, Lord God, and we repent, that you will come and heal our land, Lord. Amen. We pray for our land in our nation, Lord God, that it would become a righteous land and a righteous nation, that we will, the motto, in God we trust, will ring like never before. And we thank you for an awakening in this nation of people coming to you, Lord God, like never before. Holy Ghost, we thank you that you're moving on behalf of this congregation and also this nation, Lord God, and the world, that there is an awakening like never before, Lord, that people are coming to the knowledge of you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, have a great week, everybody. It's great to see you.